Welcome to the Perfectly Sane Show, episode 466. I am Chris, as always, joined by Tony.
You've got to run like an antelope out of control.
Okay. Jeff is here as well.
I have no idea the reference.
Oh my god, it's a fish song.
Oh. And
no, that's why I don't know.
Earl is here as well.
On this most joyous of Thursday, because I was finally able to find my pumpkin beer for the season. So
finally. Pumpkin beer has been out for like a month now.
I know, and I've been not able to find any, so I was happy I got some. I'm going to look for more, but I'm happy that I got some now.
So because are you going to drink your pumpkin beer while listening to Fish with Tony?
I am not going to listen to Fish with Tony. I am going to drink my pumpkin beer all of October as I watch these, it's a great, in quotes, horror movies that I have picked out for myself.
You have an interesting theme this year for your horror movie watching. So.
Yes, I do.
Not necessarily video game related, but they're all related to having some sort of game.
Right? I'm into them, yes. Yeah. So, and there will be video game movies just because
those are pretty horrific. So
yes, and I honestly, and I think I talked about this on the show last week, is that I am probably the only person in the world who's looking forward to Doom Annihilation coming out, and that comes out at the start of October. So I need an excuse to watch it. So that is the games part of the fun and games theme that I got going on in October. So I'll be watching Doom Annihilation. I think the 3 Resident Evil animated movies. And I might revisit the Dead Rising movies, which I feel like a lot of people don't know exist.
I saw the first one. It was like a Crackle exclusive or something.
Yeah. It was also ironic at the time because I think, well, Crackle was a Sony product. And at the time, Dead Rising was an Xbox exclusive game.
It was so weird. So yeah, October 1st is that Doom movie, huh?
It's
a Tuesday. You saving that for one of your Friday watches?
Or? Of course, I'm not watching that sober.
How dare
you? I don't believe I know any of the people in this film. So,
oh, even better.
And you'll never hear of any of them again either.
Probably.
It's probably accurate.
I mean, it's always sad watching certain horror movies, and just seeing like there are people who are. Like, I'm sure they're giving it their all, and they're doing their best, but it's like, this is it. This is your career. You're never going to get better than this. And I feel for them. I really do.
I mean, I feel very, very confident in this film now, seeing that the director of Soccer Dog the movie also directed this movie, so...
Yes. I mean, it's such a good movie that you know it's a great movie when even the company behind Doom is like, we had nothing to do with this. So
we want deniability. Please.
That is maybe what makes me want to see it most. Like, how bad are you that like id and Bethesda want nothing to do with you when they have a new game coming out like within like a couple weeks of this? So.
That's probably why they don't want people to get confused. It's like, fair. We have our own game coming out. We don't know these people.
We've never met before.
Obviously, Universal has a ton of confidence in it since they're releasing it direct-to-video. So.
Direct-to-video. Yeah. Like I said, I'm interested in the movie. We can talk more about it when it comes out. But I've actually been following the development of the movie since it was announced a few years ago. And I'm pretty sure I'm the only person who was on Twitter asking, like, what's the update on the movie? When is it coming out? What's the update on the movie? So, you're welcome that this is coming out.
I'm glad that you kept pushing them and it's finally being released. We're all getting our dream film.
Thank you, Earl.
So we're going to do things slightly differently than normal. I think we're going to kind of have a bigger gears discussion at the end here. And there's just a little bit of news. So we're going to jump right into that. Earl, tell us about Ring Fit Adventures, whatever that is.
I mean, that is exactly what everybody else is trying to figure out. So I think we mentioned last week, or this might have come out after we recorded, that Nintendo, after the Direct, released a teaser trailer of a new experience. And it was, I guess in somewhat Nintendo fashion, it was very reactive. So you saw the people reacting and doing stuff, but you didn't see what they were doing or what they were playing. You just saw them acting out.
Having a good time.
Yes. And so they were like, oh, you'll get more information about that next week. And next week was today. And we got that information. And it turned out that Nintendo is working on a fitness RPG. I guess it's the best.
Fitness JRPG. Sign me up. I'm in.
I'm mildly interested.
I'm intrigued by it, but it is still, yeah. So yes, how this works is that it's essentially kind of, part of it is an auto runner. So your characters are on a path, but you can do, you know, like to kind of be engaged, you run with. Okay, so you get I forget what it's called. It's not a fitness. It's a yoga ring or something like that. And you put the Joy-Con in part of it, and then you get like a leg strap. And it's kind of like, I don't know if any of you remember the EA Active stuff from a few years ago. Well, I guess a decade now. Oh, it was on the Wii.
Okay.
A few centuries ago. Okay.
So you put one of the Joy-Cons on, wrap around your leg, and one of them in the device. And then use this device in various means in conjunction with the second thing. So like with that, for instance, you can run or jog. And if you keep pace with your character, you will get certain benefits in game. Like you'll run faster. And as you're running, you can also use the ring as a kind of attack or something to interact with the environment. And you also use it to kind of navigate the environment by like lifting it up to jump and stuff like that. So that's kind of the first aspect of the fitness area. So outside of that, you also get into battles in the traditional JRPG sense, but and it's turn-based. But in this case, your turn-based actions are based off of actual physical actions you do in the real world. So, like you can charge up attacks by doing squats, and you can.
Just like in the real world.
Just like in the real world. And then you could do like, area of attack, area of effect attacks by like swiping wide with the thing. And then, like, you know, just to kind of add to it, you can protect yourself with what they call an ab shield, which is when you press this thing against just your abs and hold it in as long as you can. So it's a lot of really fun, goofy stuff tied into an actual narrative. The big bad of the game is a
cheeseburger.
It's a muscle-bound dragon. and yeah, I mean, that sounds like a weird statement, but there's no way to not make that sound like a weird statement.
Make a good point.
But yes, and yeah. So and then what? Then there's actually like fitness mini games and stuff like that. If you just want to do that, and oh, this and I guess the best part about this is that it's out next month. It's out on the 18th of October, so you don't have to wait long. I know you're all eager to check it out.
I want to try it.
I'm intrigued by it, but I also live on the second floor of an apartment, and I'm like my neighbors are gonna hate me, so. We're not
that's possible.
They'll learn to live with it.
I'm not personally like I'm not getting it, but I do think like it's cool how Nintendo is like trying to gamify
fitness.
So maybe we'll crack that nut here. I don't know, but just for me, even if it's fucking awesome, I'm like, yeah, no, I want to sit on my couch when I play my games.
And that's fair. I do think, you know, there's an I assume there's an audience for it. I am intrigued to see what this does because I do think that, you know, like people will ask it, and there is an element of gamification that will drive people. I mean, there are fitness apps on phones, like Zombie Run, I think, where you kind of track your progress by playing this game, and it's silly, but it's a thing that gets it's people something. Invested. Yeah. So I like I said, I am intrigued by this. I don't know if I'm going to drop $80 on it. If it's like cheap around like Black Friday, maybe.
Once it's in the bargain bin next to Nintendo Labo.
Yeah, like you can get the Labo for like $25 most times now. So I do think this has a lot more practical purpose than the Labo does. Just because, well, one, I mean, it's like you have equipment, but it's one thing you need to do. It's not like Labo where you have to store like this huge cardboard thing. So it's got that going for it. Yeah, it's an interesting and different and unique. And I think unlike the Wii, which I'm a fan of, but I think unlike the Wii era, because Nintendo's doing so much other stuff now, it's not like as disliked as when they would do like Wii Fit. And because it's
that's
like
all you're getting,
yeah. Because it's like, oh, you get that, but you can also you'll also get, you know, you get a Zelda game in next week, 2 weeks. You get a
week from now.
Yeah, a new Luigi's Mansion. You get a new Pokemon game. Animal Crossing isn't too far after that, so they got that going for them this time. Where it's like, oh, you have a lot of options, and it's not just like this or that. So yeah, like I said, I am intrigued to see where this goes and how it sells, and especially if it finds an audience.
Yeah, hopefully.
Yeah, we'll and see. Actually, and I will also say, just from a personal standpoint, I actually do think the game, like, not it looks fun, but I also think the game looks good too. It kind of looks like it's in style that I kind of hope they reuse the engine for something, because it looks like a Nintendo game, but it doesn't look like a Nintendo game, if that makes sense. Like, it's a cartoony style, but it's not like the traditional like Mario or Kirby type game. Yeah, check it out. There's like a 7-minute trailer. A lot of people are reacting to the very weird, because it's a trailer, but the hosts are kind of a QVC home shopping network types, and it's really freaking a lot of people out. So there's that.
All right. Kojima revealed a 50-minute thing for his new game.
Oh God, no, no.
Death Stranding.
Yeah, we might be the worst people to talk about this, but
yeah. I mean, I think
we probably are.
I don't know if we're the worst. I mean, at this point, everybody can talk about it equally because we've all seen the same stuff and all trying to figure it out. I do think in this case, I don't think any of us actually watched this.
No, that's way too long for me to devote to a game that I have minimal intent to start with.
Yeah.
But that's weird. Like, I mean, I guess it's not weird to have like a demo that's an hour long. I guess just the way he presented it. Strange. Somebody watched it. I know I did read some things that where people said it's still weird. Doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, and I've seen some people say it's just like a walking sim. And like,
Jeff's gonna love this game.
I have seen some.
I heard it's a mailman simulator.
I have seen parts of it where they have shown like some of the combat, and there's certain elements of like you're able to like, drop your weapon so that you can, you know, like you have to drop stuff, certain stuff you're carrying to make it easier to move in combat. And that, you know, that's an interesting dynamic. We'll see what comes of that, because that can also get frustrating if every time you do it, you have to drop your weapons.
Yeah.
Yes. What else was there? Yeah, I mean, it seems like there are two contingencies of people here, and I assume we fall in the latter camp. there are the people who are going to get this and support this no matter what, because it's Kojima and he can do no wrong. And then there's the other types of people who are like, this is Kojima.
Who are saying,
I'm very wary of what's going on here.
Yeah. I don't know. I may be tempted to get it because the fall is looking a little bit sparse.
You're literally getting it because there's nothing else to get. That's a good
yeah. One. Like, I mean, there's games like you know, Zelda next week, and with that Outer Worlds, that what it's called, and Doom, and like there's stuff, but.
Yeah,
it's not a lot. Like it's not loaded like it normally is.
I guess it depends because like for me, Borderlands is out in like 50 minutes.
Right.
Zelda, like I said, Luigi's
Mansion. Yeah.
You know, and I still have like we'll get to in a second. We just got Gears. Like officially, Gears doesn't come out until tomorrow.
No, it came out Tuesday.
He came out Tuesday. Officially out Tuesday, yeah.
But yes, I mean, we just got that. You know, Destiny 2 has its update in a few weeks?
Yeah, October 1st. Yep.
Yeah. And it goes right
along with that Doom
movie.
Right?
Along with that Doom movie. I wonder which one's going to be better.
Well, that's a good question.
I honestly don't think it's a cut and dry answer, but
no, it could go either way.
And that's the sad thing about it. But yeah, and so I'm really curious to see what happens with Death Stranding. I imagine it's gonna find a really big audience because not a big audience, it's gonna find an audience because there's Kojima fan. But also I think because it's a Sony exclusive and there's not really been a ton of that this year. Like, I could be wrong, but I feel like Sony was worse than Microsoft this year with exclusives.
I'm trying to think of what they had. They had Days Gone.
They had Days
Gone.
Not
great.
I like
and
it.
And that's about it.
Though.
That's true. Most people didn't.
I mean, Microsoft isn't much better, but I feel like
Gears is all you need.
There, yeah.
You're like, oh.
I am trying to think of what else, did they have anything else?
Well, Crackdown 3 came out this year.
Right, that did. I like Crackdown 3 too. But I've evidently forgotten it existed.
Yeah, I thought to say.
Oh, wow, that was
so good.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's been such a long year, Tony.
I will say this much, and not to get off on a political tangent too much, but somebody pointed out the fact that we had a government shutdown this year, and I completely forgot that happened.
Oh my god, when?
It was like 6 weeks.
It was January. Yeah.
Oh, it was over December. It was December into January, right?
No,
yeah.
Was it December? I think it was at the start of this year.
I think it started in... I don't know. I hope people remember it come next November.
They won't.
Yeah, you're right.
We don't remember it now.
And the reason I brought it up was somebody was mentioning that we're on the verge of having a second government shutdown possibly this year because they have to renegotiate that. And I'm like, we can't have another one. I'm not ready for that.
I don't think I'll do it again. It didn't
yeah,
help
but
at all.
I
but
mean,
again,
there's a lot of stuff. Yes.
Oh, yeah, it's been a long year. It's been a long year. Also, not a great year for games. Like, not a terrible year, but not a great year for games. I don't think.
Okay, and also to kind of go off on another tangent, I've also thought it's not been a great year for movies.
Movies, you said?
Yeah.
Yeah, I've said the same thing multiple times on movie dates. There's things piling up now. There's things piling up that are like really good. You know, like I really like Midsummer. I really like Once Upon a Time. There's another movie that just came out I really liked called Tigers Are Not Afraid. But a lot of big like kind of disappointments too. Like, you know, some of the bigger movies that you expected to be really good were just like whatever. While I liked it, you know, that was not like.
Yeah, it was not like Yeah, like, I haven't found, like, I've enjoyed a lot of movies. I don't think there's been many that I've been like last year, even outside of like the big blockbusters, I found stuff like of Simon, Upgrade, to be super enjoyable and really good.
Last year was like one of the best years in the last 20 years, I thought. So
And I could be wrong. I mean, right now it's still early, and it could be because I'm focused on comic book movies. But I feel like the Joker being like one of the big talked about, I'm sure it's going to be a good movie, but that being like one of the big talked about Oscar movies, I'm just like, I love comic books, I love comic book movies, but I actually do like to get away from them. And that being like one of the big talks for the Oscar season, like, is the Oscar season just that dry this year?
I don't really associate it that much as with a comic book movie. I don't think it's going to feel like, it's going to feel like an early Scorsese, you know, like, I don't know.
That might be the case, but it's still going to be. It's still rooted.
The Joker.
It still is a comic book movie, regardless if it feels like it or not.
But and I'm sure an actual movie.
Yeah, like I said, I think I agree with you. I think it will be different. I think it will feel different. I think all the reviews have pointed towards that, for better or worse, that it's not the type of movie you would go in expecting. But at the same time, I'm just like. Especially that I still kind of use MoviePass. I'm probably one of the few people who still support that company. But I like going into the Oscar season and seeing those movies that I would never actually see do well.
Yeah. But Joker might be at the top of that list this year.
Yeah, which I won't see anyhow, but I
mean... Right. It's been a weird year. So.
Yeah, back to video games.
Chris said, it's been a weird year on that front too. It's like slim pickings, kind of like, I don't know. Feels like that way to me, anyways. I agree.
I think game of the year is gonna be an interesting talk.
There's lots of strategy games to pick from. I'm just saying.
I mean, I think we were going to have this discussion a few weeks ago, and then we didn't record that week. But if you were to say, what is the front runner for Game of the Year right now? Is it Gears, or is it something else?
Total War Three Kingdoms, obviously.
I have not kind of ranked Gears on my list, but
it's too new.
Yeah, well, and I haven't played enough of the campaign to say, but for me, and I think I'm the only one that played it, so far, Control is probably my front runner.
Ooh,
yeah.
I was gonna say it's either. I feel like it's either that or it's going to be Fire Emblem Three Houses right now. I see early front runners, and I see early front runners in the middle of September.
Right, and I'm not seeing a ton. I'm not seeing a ton for, like, there are games I'm looking forward to, but I'm not seeing a ton in the like next 3 months that are going.
Yeah. And just as a quick aside, because you mentioned Control, and this isn't part of our, but the MPDs came out this week or today for the month of August, and I was surprised to see that Control didn't rank in the top 20 at all.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
But also, so this data is not super solid, but there's an article up on trueachievements.com. Talking about how Control is only pulled in 20% of the audience of Alan Wake.
Ooh.
On the Xbox.
Oof. That's painful.
And 15% of the audience of Quantum Break. So it is not like, and now to be fair, like, True Achievements is like they track the achievements of their members, people that have signed up for their service, so they're basing it on that flow. But if they're like probably the more, I think they're probably the more inclined to buy a game like Control than the general populace, right? Like,
right. The only thing I would say about Control is I feel like it's the type of game, even though Remedy has its history with Microsoft, it's the type of game I can see doing slightly better on the PlayStation just because it's so story-driven.
Sure. I mean, I think all Remedy games have been story-driven, but...
Yeah, I feel like that's kind of Sony's bread and butter. if I was to pick one, I would say like narrative heavy games do better on.
Sure. And I wouldn't doubt if we got actual numbers that PlayStation 4 version has sold better. But it is that that's a drastic drop off from.
I would have to be 300% to make it halfway.
Right, that's nuts. And then you said it didn't even show up on the top 20. So
no, that was it. I don't have it in front of me. I do Astro Chain, which came out the same week, but later on, made it to number 10. But what I was more surprised by was Man and Medea, which came out the same day as Astro Chain, made it to number 19. And I thought that was more niche than Control would have been.
Yeah.
So.
It's weird because I think we all kind of live in our own little bubbles, but I was looking forward to Control, bought it when it came out. But I don't really remember seeing a whole lot of advertisements for it other than the Game Informer cover. And, on forums and stuff, it seems that there was no real advertisement for it. There was no big push. So
until it actually came out and people started talking about it, I had never heard of it.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. So yeah. So they did a terrible job of marketing it.
Well, I mean, and this is sometimes the sad truth of the affairs is going away from being exclusive is you do use prime real estate at E3 and stuff like that.
Yep.
And it's not one of those games where I don't think Microsoft nor Sony were really fine for it. It made its debut at the PlayStation E3 press conference, I believe.
Yes.
But outside of that, I don't remember it having a big stage presence. And it was, like you said, the Game Informer thing was probably the first we heard about it after the E3 thing in over a year.
Right. And I am attuned to liking stuff from Remedy. I like them as a developer. So I'm kind of interested in whatever they're going to put out next. So I'm not really paying attention to kind of what's going on in the outside world in regards to them and how they're handling it. But they went with a mid-tier publisher, 505 Games. I'm sure they're not getting the marketing dollars that Microsoft or Sony could put behind it. Certainly not something like what EA or Activision or Ubisoft could either. So. Yeah, it's a shame because I think that game's really good. Although, if you have a base system, it seems like it is kind of maybe you might want to wait a little bit to play it.
So it's built for a pro or
an X, yeah.
So it also brings to mind because I think we mentioned last week that it was on sale for 30 some odd bucks.
Yeah.
And I said at the time that it was just, it got caught up. Maybe retail sales weren't that great and it was Star Wars trying to
already, a week later, they were just let's try and push this out, let's get rid of it. It's a shame because I think it's a really good game. I finished it this week. And not only did I finish it, but then I went and chased the rest of the achievements on it. So I completed that game all the way through, and they announced some DLC coming for it over the next year. 3 DLC packs, I guess. One of which relates to another Remedy franchise, which I will not spoil here, but they seem to be doing some sort of Remedy shared universe between their franchises. So
that's
I'm kind of excited for that. But yeah, I think if you guys get a chance to play it, maybe Black Friday, it'll be down to $20.
Yeah. I'll
pick it up then. It's one of the more fascinating games. I think it's your combat's really fun. Being able to, you get these special powers that Jesse can use. The shooting is not the best, but it's the best that it's ever been in a Remedy game. And then add that with the special powers and stuff. The combat is very engaging. The world just rips apart. I think I said it last week, you leave a a battle in that game, and like the area you were in looks like the away from the Matrix in that that fight, and like the security center, and when they're going to rescue Morpheus, it's every like the walls just rip apart and everything scatters. Everything, the destruction is amazing, and but it does not run great on a base system. It runs very well, I think, on the X, but not everybody has one of them. So,
but then that's Control. Why not?
I mean, it's unfortunately that I feel like the X and the Pro are what Microsoft and Sony should have released as their systems.
Yeah, but I mean, even now, they're not cheap devices.
No, they're not. They would have been more expensive then.
Yeah.
But we are getting to that weird point in the console generation where these games are, like, at this point, like, really straddling the line of if they're even playable.
Yeah, but it's one of those things where we get to that line, next gen will come around, and it's going to be the same problem because it's not, like, I mean, ultimately what happens is people prefer graphics and fidelity over performance.
Yep. Yeah, so. They want everything to look pretty. You know, how it runs is a secondary. But this game looks pretty, and when it's running great, it feels fantastic. So, I hope you guys get a chance to play it at some point. Earl, you played the Contra Rogue Core demo, or did you not?
I did. I am disappointed that I did.
Oh, no.
Great. Sign me up for that. I love disappointment.
I'm not usually one to kind of pick on games and stuff like that. I try to find the best in everything I play. And this was not it. This was not good. So one, it's a weird clash of styles. I don't know how much you've seen of this game. But the game, so the game kind of presents itself like an 80s action movie. It's like you come in, you like the very beginning of the demo, like you're falling out of a helicopter, you land on the ground, explosions behind you, your gun jams, and like the person in your head is like, "What happened?" He's like, "Don't worry, I stuck the end." And I'm like, "Okay, you know, I get the vibe you're going for here."
So is this Rambo 2 or Rambo 3?
I have only seen the first Rambo.
Sounds like it's Rambo 3 based on Earl's like.
To me, this is closer to Commando.
This sounds like a. What's this? Blue light. What does blue turn blue?
So you do that, and then I'm like, okay, I know what I'm in for. It's gonna be like an over the top, really crazy action game, and it's not. It's kind of like one of those twin stick shooters. Which is
not what you expect from Contra.
It's not Contra.
not what you expect from Contra at all. Because like by their nature, they tend to be slower paced, more methodical types of game. Where it's like it's set pieces, but you kind of go from set piece to environment to calm down to set piece or whatever. Okay, I'm like, okay, that's a change I can kind of deal with. But really, where it first starts to come apart for me is that there is a slight input lag on it. So like, I noticed that just like the tutorial and like even moving around, there's like maybe a second or half a second delay between push the analog stick when your character moves. And that was annoying because like it just gives your character this weird wait to like, we have to start up this movement. And it's the same thing, like stopping is also kind of short. And then it's the same thing kind of goes with aiming. So that was the big sticking point for me throughout the demo. So really, that's going to color everything. But aside from that, you get into this game. It's a twin... It is a twin-stick shooter. Yeah, it's a twin-stick shooter. But to make sure that you really get that Contra feel to it, your gun can overheat. So you can't actually just like hold down the gun and shoot all the time. Because if you do, your gun will overheat, and then you can't shoot for like 5 seconds.
Well, nobody wants that.
No, I don't get the point of this edition.
That's not Contra.
That's not Contra at all.
Because to add to that point, in traditional Contra fashion, you can upgrade your weapons for random drops on the map. Except they all have limited ammo. So if you could get the spreader, but the spreader has 20 shots before it defaults back to your normal gun. And I'm like, what part of this is Contra to you?
So like that trailer looked like Contra.
Kinda, like.
Well, like goofy Contra, right? Like a little more cartoony art style. But it looked like, I mean, gameplay wise, it looked like it, but this does not sound like Contra at all.
No, it does not. It does not even sound like an enjoyable game because so many of the systems here are just like counterproductive to actually, like, your tone is like this over the top bombastic action game. And you're giving me this really, like, you can't shoot your gun too much. Oh, if you get this really nice gun, you have to make sure you save your ammo. And it's like, why? Give me big guns to shoot stuff as fast as I can. And, okay, the one part I did like about this game, which is really, which is closer to the tone of the game, but not at all how it plays, is you can grab missiles as like a special move, and you trigger it, your character will ride the missile up top and then slam it back down to the ground, and that's awesome. But that does not match the rest of the game at all.
When's this come out, Earl?
I do not know. I stopped the demo. I was done.
I think it's like a week out or something. Like, I don't think it's out.
It's soon.
They're probably putting it up against Zelda.
They should not put this out. They should just be like, we're gonna make more money keeping the Contra name pure and honest and putting this game out for people to actually experience. Because the demo ends. Well, the demo ends with a boss battle tease, but before then, you kind of get a sub boss, and the sub boss was just really, really bad. It's like the slow moving, huge character. So you just kind of sit in the corner and shoot it, and I'm like, again, not Contra. I'm not like moving and dodging or anything. I'm just kind of shooting this thing until its very, very, very health bar dies down.
Well, I don't want to play that game.
Yeah, that game is not.
I'm glad you did play it though, Earl.
I wanted to
not play it.
I wanted to give it an honest chance. I actually I was super interested in it. You know, it's I actually do like twin stick shooters. They can be fun, especially online co-op. And I wasn't like, oh man, this isn't traditional 2D Contra, like games have to evolve and stuff like that. But this ain't it. This is not at all what I wanted. I don't know who thought this was a good idea.
I thought it was a good idea.
No, it would be you.
It's all Tony's fault.
So yes, do not pay the new Contra.
All right.
And you're welcome.
Yes, thank you for taking the hit there. Because now we don't have to. Tony.
Yes.
You played NBA 2K20.
2K20, yes. I played a game that was actually good.
Fancy?
I know. Well, I mean, I like to enjoy my time, Earl. I don't like to, you know, shoot myself in the foot. So I'm playing my career mode again. So once again, they've come out with like a full-fledged like movie-like story in the game.
Right.
So this time around, it starts off you're like the star of your college team. And you're about to go into the NCAA tournament, but in the last game of your conference final, one of your teammates gets injured, like at the end of the game, like blows out his knee, and your coach, who is Idris Elba,
of course,
takes that player and like. Takes their scholarship away and kicks them off the team.
Oh, that's a dick move.
For getting hurt?
for getting hurt, right? So your player is pissed, as are all of his teammates. So he's a senior, so it's his last year. He decides to sit out the NCAA tournament.
That seems silly.
In protest. So because of this, his draft stock plummets. So now you have to like take your player through this whole like pre-draft process of going like to the NBA combine and team workouts to build your stock back up again, so you can, you know, get drafted and actually play in the NBA. So I'm still working through that. I played through the combine. The combine sucks. It's terrible. They make you do all these weird drills that have absolutely nothing to do with playing NBA 2K. So it's like the same kind of things that you would do, like going into the workout room. So it makes you do all these like weird button presses so that you can like sprint, or like you're like lifting weights. And it's this mini game that I'm going to do for one time and never do ever again, because, you know, I'm playing a game that's about playing basketball.
Right.
And they take that and they mix it in with like scrimmages and stuff. So you're playing the scrimmages, you're like, okay, this is NBA 2K, and I'm playing well, I'm doing great and awesome. And then I went into the combine and I sucked, and everybody's making fun of me. Like I'm they're trying to like, there's a point at which they make you do bench press. And there's like coaches standing around you, like watching you, and they're all standing there shaking their heads at me and like looking down and looking away. It's like my player's just pathetic. Like they're like laughing at me. The actual
seems very unrealistic.
Yeah, that part kind of just sucked. And the story, I mean, the story has always have been realistic. Like the one from last year where you actually like burned down your hotel.
Wait, what?
Yeah, because you're playing for like this development league team, and you end up doing something with a microwave, I don't know, and burning down the hotel, and pretending it wasn't you, but they find out and kick you off the team.
Wasn't a few years ago, like Spike Lee did it. Wasn't there like Ghost Friend?
Oh yeah, there was a guy who like died. Like your friend gets killed during the thing. And you like see him like speaking to you at the end and talking to you after he's already dead.
NBA 2K pushing the boundaries of what sports games are.
So I've finally built my draft stock back up in the team workout. So now I'm a solid first round pick. So we'll see where I go. But I've played for about 4 hours so far, and I have yet to play in an NBA game. So I'm still waiting for my chance, waiting for my shot, but it'll happen.
All right. Quick question. Go ahead.
Where does Urkel come in? Or have you not met him yet?
I can't remember if I've seen him or not. I don't think I have. He's not using the Urkel voice, so I have a really hard time recognizing.
I don't know if he can still do the Urkel voice.
Yeah, he's a little old now. How old is Jaleen White? He's got to be like 50 now.
I don't know if he's 50. I would imagine he's in his 40s.
Well, you got to think, though. Like, Family Matters came out in, what, the 90s?
Yeah, and he was
That was a long time ago.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. But he was like, he was a teenager when he started. So... And then you imagine that's like...
So, somebody look this up. How old is Jaleen White? Let's go with 45. I'm going to say he's 45.
I said he's in his 40s. You said he was in his 50s.
I said he's got to be like 50 is what I said, not in his 50s.
I think he's got... I'm going to say he's under 45.
How do you... I'm spelling his name wrong.
J-A-L-E-E-L.
J-A-L-E-E-L. Okay. He is 42 years old.
So he's anyway. Not that old. But yes, I can't imagine. Like, even in the later ends of Family Matters, it was difficult for him to do that voice because he was no longer a pubescent teenager.
Right. I'm trying to think of who he is. Like, so you have a roommate who trains with you, who's like this French dude. Your agent is a white guy who looks an awful lot like Seth Meyers, but it's not Seth Meyers. It's like dime store Seth Meyers. I don't know who he would be.
2K is 2K20, right?
Yeah.
Does not say. But evidently Rosaria Dawson's also in this with...
Yeah, she's your trainer.
How weird. Anyway.
Yeah.
So that's basketball.
Yeah. We'll update you later on when I actually make it to the NBA. And, you know, figure out what actually playing NBA games feels like again.
Yeah, so like actual basketball. You'll let us know.
You do play a lot of actual basketball. There's lots of scrimmages. You end up... Oh, by the way, I got the... I don't know, the VIP version. And I was able to upgrade my player, so he's like an 82 overall, which is good because they like throw you into these scrimmages where you're like facing off against elite NBA players who would absolutely destroy you. Like, I'm a point guard. If my player was... you know, playing like he normally would be, he'd be like a 62 trying to guard James Harden, which is not happening. So I still couldn't guard him at 82, but it,
Is there a character known as the Director?
The Director?
That's on IMDb. That's what they have him listed as.
Maybe he, did he actually direct it? That's possible.
No. Some guy named Sheldon Candace directed.
Okay, so there is a there's a part where you can opt in to being in a movie or go to training, and I selected to go to training, so maybe I skipped him.
Oh,
That would make sense. That would be why I wouldn't know who he was.
Is that as fun?
You could have. I know. I did white. The right thing.
He went and played basketball instead of being in a movie.
That's right. I'm getting ready for the combine. I can't, you know, spend all night out.
You could.
I'm doing it right, guys. I'm doing what's right. I'm making good decisions for my career.
You know, I mean, we'll find out how your career's going in the coming weeks. You might have made the wrong choice.
Maybe. We'll see.
Jeff, real quick, tell us about Doom 2. On the Switch.
Well, what is there to say, really? It's Doom, but it was cool.
But the second one.
Yeah, it's Doom. Yeah. And, you know, very similar to the first one. I actually went and bought the first one after I beat it. I mean, again, what is there to say except that I really enjoyed playing this game. Like, really, like, you know, I got Gears 5, and I got, like, it was kind of pulling me away from that, even. Just missed that style of shooter, kind of. I've definitely never beat Doom 2, and I'm not sure if I've ever even actually beat the original, so this is, like, cool to actually finish one of these classic Doom games. And I think the base game of 2 was 30 levels. I don't know if anyone else has ever, like, played all the way through 2, but...
I have in the past. I don't remember a whole lot about it.
Boss was pretty simple at the end. It's basically, like there's, like, this elevator in the middle of the room. It goes up and down, kind of. Like this platform, and you have to, like, as it's rising, you have to, like, shoot at just the right moment to get inside the boss's mouth. Basically, it's just like this thing on a wall, like, kind of blocking a door. It looks like a giant, like, fucking demon head, and you just gotta shoot it in the mouth, I think, 3 times, and that's it. But yeah, this is an old game, so I don't know if there's much more to say on it than other than I really liked it.
Yeah,
are you excited to pick up Doom 64 now?
Or are you? I'm really excited to play that because that one I have not. I've never played through, but it's, you know, it's different developer, so that's interesting. And also, I've heard it's a really good Doom game, so yeah, I'm psyched for that.
It evidently also ties all the Doom games together somehow.
64.
Yeah.
yeah, it's pretty cool, man. I'm like almost looking more forward to that than Doom Eternal, but you know, I'm looking forward to that too.
But not as much as you're looking forward to Doom Annihilation.
I mean,
that no,
we're pumped for that one. I mean, that is certainly the film we've all been waiting for.
I'm excited for you, Earl, to watch it.
That is going to be the movie that turns around 2019.
That'll be it. But before that happens, we'll talk about Gears of War. Well, not Gears of War.
Yeah, as I was going to say, it's just Gears now.
Gears 5, the fifth Gears game. Gears game. It's going to include Gears Pop. Seventh Gears game, but only the second one to not have a war in the title. So,
was War the first one, or was Gears Pop the one you're counting?
I'm counting Gears Pop as the okay. other one that doesn't have
the Gears. I couldn't remember if Gears of War 4 was Gears 4.
It's Gears of War 4, and it's Gears of War Judgment. So, all the other ones have had Gears of War. They erased the of war. It is just Gears now with the number 5.
I remember them making a big deal about it at E3.
I don't know.
Because I think the strategy game also does, it's called Gears whatever.
Gears
whenever
Tactics.
That comes. Yeah. And then saying like, oh, you know, like we're doing something different. You can even tell by the fact that it's just called Gears now. And I'm like, okay.
I've played a bunch of it now. I don't know how much they're doing different. Like, there's definitely different aspects, but it is a Gears
game. It feels like a Gears game.
Yeah, right? Like,
I don't recognize this at all. This is a completely new experience as I roadie run and, you know, have a perfect reload.
Right. Like, they move some buttons around and, like, the chainsaw is now on the right bumper, which is also your reload button, so careful.
Yeah.
But they've added some cool things. Like there's a grenade launcher lancer that shoots out this really cool grenade.
Yeah, that is such a cool grenade because it like you shoot it out and then it kind of rains down on them.
Yeah, like you shoot it out, like goes straight ahead and then it blows and kind of like drops like these shells all over. It's a really cool looking grenade. Comes in very handy against bosses in Horde.
Interesting.
You gotta store those things. But I don't know. Like, I think we've all played some now. It feels very much like a Gears game, which is good because those games are good. But.
Right. Yeah, I don't see. It's not like revolutionary. Like, there are some cool things that they've changed, but it's not, you know, turning the whole thing on its head. Or like, I'm not going to pretend like this is a new experience.
It's good,
It's a brand new experience, whole new world. I will say, I mean, just to kind of, you know, to give them some credit, they do kind of break up the formula a bit in chapter 2 and 3 with the more open world aspect. Yeah,
which, to be fair, I have not gotten there yet. I've played
the first two chapters of Act 1.
I think it adds nothing. I think calling it an open world is like not even... I don't know, dude. I think it's...
No, I agree with you. I'm saying they try something different, but I actually do think it's detrimental to the game. Because it's like, you kind of get like the snow glider. You just kind of wander around finding these things. Where I'm like, I honestly would have just preferred you put me on a track and be like, go from here to here to here and just do this instead of like...
Race something on the way or some shit, or shoot some shit on the way. Like a fucking work on a second.
Or just like in Gears 4 and like Act 2, there's like a motorcycle chase. Like, do something like that with the skiff instead of you just driving around the desert or snow world,
cause,
right?
Because I pay some of it co-op. I pay some of it single player. I paid this part co-op. My friend, they were the one controlling the skiff. The guy in the driver's seat does nothing. Like, you don't. There's no combat. So there's no weapons to it. You just sit there and maybe point in a direction in case they don't see something, but you really do nothing. You're a passenger in this segment. I'm like, this is really odd game design for something like Gears of War, which has always really been good about divvying up labor between players.
Right, making sure that each player has something to do at all times. By even like splitting you guys up, like right, like and making you go in different paths to kind of give you both something to do. It's weird that they would just put you in, you know, in a passenger seat. You don't do anything. Like even in Gears of War 1, when you have that admittedly terrible driving sequence.
But that was the one that came to mind because the second player had, like, it was something stupid with the flashlight, but you had something to do.
Right. Like you used the, and you had to work together because using the, like the UV light would also
turn
shut
the engine
off. So like you had to work in tandem. Whereas this, you're just evidently sitting. That doesn't seem great.
Yeah. It's, and then you can go long stretches with both players really not seeing anything. Or this really, like, you know, and this is, there's really no sense of direction. Like, it will tell you, like, oh, we have to do, like, there's three things we have to do. One's in the north, one's in the east, or whatever. But it's just you kind of wandering around until, like, the characters point out, like, oh, over there, and you go there. I'm like, this isn't a really, like, there, again, you'll find a few, like, bases and stuff scattered throughout, but it's not really a fun open world. There's nothing to do.
No.
And I hear four and five, acts four and five, like get back on that kind of linear track.
So, I thought there's only four acts.
Yeah, I was about to say, I only heard there was four acts. Okay. So.
But I heard after act three that it gets back on that, and they've always had five acts. So
it's like one and four are normal, and then two and three, they're trying this quote unquote open world. So like, I think I'm like exactly at the midpoint of the game because I'm, or no, I'm not almost at the midpoint. I'm like almost done with Act Two or whatever, and like that's when I felt myself being pulled away by Doom 2. And I was just like, I'm going back to Gears just to play the Versus or the Horde mode, yeah.
Which is part a lot of fun.
Horde is great. Horde was awesome.
Okay. Well, like part of me is happy this is a Game Pass game where I could just be like, you know what? I don't even give a fuck about the campaign. Like I don't even have to care. I can just play. Like I could get out of this what I want, and I'm having fun with the multiplayer. So
go ahead.
Before we get to Horde and multiplayer, I just wanted to touch on one more thing from single player or co-op or campaign that's a bit odd. It makes sense story wise, but it is a bit odd. Is that if you remember Gears 4 or I do like the fact that they give you a recap of Gears 4 at the start of the game. I thought that was a great touch. Is that Kate is suffering, like, she's part of the Oakus Queen lineage or whatever.
There's some relationship to Queen Mira and the Locust, yes.
So throughout the game, she will have like, visions or, like, episodes. And that's kind of nifty. But what happens in co-op is your partner just really walks around Aji.
That's awesome.
And it's so weird because like, I'm playing the game and my friend was playing Kate. She's like, what are you doing? You're just kind of walking around in a circle. And he's like, oh no, I'm having a vision. Can you not see that? I'm like, no, to me, you're just kind of walking around weirdly.
All right, so you've just solidified that I will continue to play this single player before I play co-op, because you don't seem to be getting the full experience if you are playing it co-op.
I mean, it makes sense, again, from a story standpoint, because also in the story, that's how the characters react to like what's going on.
Right, like,
but
weird.
From another person's standpoint, it's like, this is just really dumb. Because you're doing like that show walk detented doing these games, and I'm like, why are you doing that? Like, I'm moving normally.
Are you having a seizure? Are you okay?
Yeah. Speak to me, Kate. Speak to me.
Well, so what I've played of the campaign so far, I've really, but it is that linear piece. So, but yeah, I think we've all, Earl, have you played any of the multiplayer yet?
I got to play some Horde today.
Okay. So we've all now played a little bit of the multiplayer. Actually, Jeff, myself, and Tony have all run to 50 in Horde.
Oh, you made it to 50?
Yeah,
we did. On the lowest difficulty setting. Yeah, we did.
Okay, that's what I did too. I was gonna put a caveat, like, just so you know, I'm a beginner.
Yeah, no, I made it to 40 with randoms on the second tier up. But we made it to 50, and actually up until like the last five levels of it wasn't very challenging.
No, it's not. But it did get a little hairy for me between 40 and 50 here and there. Like you got in some situations where you're like, ooh, this is getting a little like, I remember like challenge. But like up until then, it's just like smooth sailing. So at least it was for me.
I think we all died at one point.
We died, yeah.
We
failed a level, yeah. But we only had four people with us. And
AI guy was okay. I like that it's an AI guy, though, and not somebody we have to complain about.
Right. Yeah, because like the AI guy isn't really doing anything, and every once in a while he gets a kill here or there. So
or save somebody. Like
yeah, we'll pick you up. He's not completely useful. Useless.
He's not building fences everywhere.
That's no.
Right. Which is interesting because now its horde is locked to particular characters that have particular roles. So like Kate is a scout. Dell is an engineer. JD
is a tank.
Yeah, Sarah Connor and Marcus are tanks. So they all have different roles, and that dictates what you can do with the fabricator. So,
I don't like that.
I think it's really cool.
Really? I got so mad because the guy I chose I could not buy sentry guns or whatever. What the fuck, man? All I could buy is a stupid what the hell is that, like weapon thing that you like weapon locker you can
locker.
Which is very useful. Like
is it? I didn't even get that. My friend kept going, go over there, you get fucking like caps or some shit. So, I was like, what are you talking about, dude?
So you put your weapon on there and it recharges the ammo in it. So what I kept having Tony buy them because I couldn't build one myself. And we were putting like heavy weapons on there. So when the bosses came, you could like have a rocket launcher or a turret gun or,
You know, I was thinking of a different device you could lay out, but, I never used my weapons locker either though, because I was like, I'm never giving up like the gun that I liked. You know, I didn't want to like leave it in there charging. And right. My friend said he was using it. He's like, it's taking fucking forever. He's like, it's not even worth it almost.
But it is worth it if you, because like Chris said, like the first few rounds in each new wave, like one through like five, you don't necessarily need like a boom shot or something like that. So if you have one from like the previous boss encounter, put it up there, have it charge for a few rounds, and then put it out near closer to the boss battle. What I was going to say, I find fascinating, is they also kind of do sub boss battles now too.
Yeah, there's like they'll drop like wardens or something at it like level five.
Yeah,
like the mid levels, not always level five, not always like every mid level. It's sometimes you'll get one at 15 and not get another one again until like 45. But yeah, they're there, which is kind of cool because like it gives you a little bit more of a challenge than just like here's a bunch of juvies and soccer balls.
I hate the soccer balls. The one change I dislike, and I could be wrong, maybe it's just not triggered for me yet, is in Gears 4, and I think PS3 had this as well, when we were playing, is like they would sometimes have wave-specific missions.
Like, yeah, so I haven't seen any of them yet.
Okay, so it's not just me.
Yeah, and, like where we would get the challenges, right? Like get 8 executions or everyone survive. Yeah, I didn't see any when we played the other night, so... that is a shame, but that might get added in, who knows.
Yeah, and I was also disappointed, and I mean I get it, but I much prefer the 25 waves we were doing before.
Yeah, we were saying that too.
Because I started the 50 around like 6:30 or so, and like halfway through, my crap, I need to eat dinner, I'm getting so hungry now.
And we
finishing a little. Well, we ended up dying like wave 35 because it was a sub boss battle with two wardens, and it was on the Iceborne stage. So, like one of the wardens charged at me with a double axe, and it cracked the water underneath me. So even though I was down, I froze to death.
Yeah, I like that. I like that feature in the ice level though, where the
if you use it on the enemies, sure. When it's for you, it's not as great.
No, it is kind of cool though. It's like, shit, I'm stuck on this ice now, I'm dead. There's another one, there's a train that runs by.
The train could kill you.
Yeah, like kill you or the enemies, so that's kind of fun. There's like cool environmental things going on. I don't know, we had a good time with it, so.
And there are some other additions which I was not 100% sure on, and I had to Google after the fact. Like the power trap. Is that what it's called?
Power trap?
Like those machines that are they put
on. Oh, yes, the banks.
That's what I was talking about, the other thing I was thinking of.
Oh, but you know, they do take they take a while, yes. But you don't need to use them.
I just don't get the point. Like, what was it? Just get money out of? Like,
yeah, they as the game progresses, as the rounds progress, I think every 10 rounds they drop a new bank on the field, and you can gain them. They're basically points to hold, and then as they'll charge up, and you can pull out like a few hundred extra pieces of power. It's not necessary. You don't have to do it.
Before I forget, I do have a question, because like I didn't know and my friend couldn't tell me either. It's like, all right, let's say I lay out like spikes or something. How do you upgrade those?
You have to upgrade the fabricator, but to upgrade it itself, you have to pick it up again and upgrade it in. And I don't think everybody can do that.
Probably just the engineer who doesn't have the engineer, I believe, does not have their own specific perks either. So that's another change they made, is each character can now spend power on themselves.
Yeah.
And
this is what I did a lot.
Yeah.
Like, well, cause I couldn't, I could just, all I was doing was laying barriers. I was like, all right, there's barriers everywhere now.
So I mean, and that's why it's really good to play with like a group of people together, cause you can communicate. So Tyler was building, he was our engineer, and he could like build turrets and stuff. So I would drop him a few, like maybe 1,000 here or there every once in a while. For the most part, I'm just like upgrading myself.
Yeah. Max that shit out.
But he can't spend any on himself. He needs to spend it on building shit. Like, so they kind of lock that out. So it's an interesting dynamic.
Yeah.
But it does mean that you can't have, well, I guess you could random-wise, you could have somebody playing as an engineer and just running around building fences, but also you don't have to give him money if you don't want to, because you can spend it yourself.
So does the engineer upgrade existing barriers, or does he like upgrade the fabricator and then he can buy better barriers? You know what I'm saying?
It can be both.
Yeah, the more stuff you buy, the more stuff you build, like it believe that upgrades. And then I don't know how to upgrade the fabricator in this one, but I know we had like laser fences and shit.
Yeah,
that's what I'm saying though, is like, are those, like, if you have just normal spikes on the ground, if you're like the engineer, can you walk up to those spikes and upgrade them, or do you have to
you have to buy more spikes or upgrade, like, something inside the fabricator fence. Yes. Yeah. Well, no, once you upgrade the fabricator, all your shit upgrades to the next
one. Oh, okay. All right, then.
What one thing this is more of a Walt thing, is because he loved the man turrets, but we did not see any man turrets. So not sure if it was just the characters we picked could not build them, or there were auto turrets, but there was no... There was not like that big man turret that that you could use. I don't know. We had a good time with it. So
it was fun. It was a lot of fun.
I also played a little bit of Escape. Jeff, have you tried any of that yet?
I have not. I heard it's kind of like,
it's weird,
running from room to room type thing.
So I mean, it's literally
like Cornboat on the Move.
Yeah, well, in a way. Basically you get eaten by a snatcher, like on purpose, and then you bust out of the pod and you set a bomb that you have strapped to yourself, which will then go off and release this poison. And your objective is to move from that pod bay and get back to the surface. So you're running through all these rooms. And there's like encounters along the way. And like the objective is to do it as fast as possible.
Okay.
And there are boss fights, like they will drop bosses in between, and it's okay. It's not my favorite. They could do some things with it though. It's also a survival mode. Like, so when you get out of the pod and you set the bomb, you only start with a pistol and like one clip. So you are then like trying to fight your way forward, kill enemies, pick up their weapons. So it's almost a little bit survival horror-ish where you never have like a ton of ammo. So it's a tense experience as you're moving forward. And there's like supply lockers and stuff you can pick up, but
yeah, I've been meaning to try it. I just didn't get to do it before tonight, unfortunately.
Yeah. And then there's regular multiplayer, which I think you've tried a little bit of, Jeff.
Yeah, I've been playing a lot of it, actually. I like it. I mean, I never got into like Gears of War multiplayer, like Versus, ever.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm having fun with it. And, I'm terrible at these types of things, but I still can sometimes rack up some points and shit. And
what is there feel a like mode
I'm having fun.
Is there a mode you're specifically playing? Or
just straight up team deathmatch or whatever it is.
Okay, so you aren't playing like arcade or...
I think it's just arcade quick play, and then
okay,
like,
yeah, that's team deathmatch.
Yeah,
so usually is that the one where you can like upgrade your weapons and like you get eliminations.
Yeah, you can buy
new like power weapons or random weapons depending upon what character you're using.
Yeah, and there's also some progression and shit to your character. I think kind of.
What was that?
There's some progression to like characters too as you play as them. Like, you're earning XP and shit, but I think it is character specific a little bit.
Yeah, so in Horde and Escape, you're gaining levels like outside, like
yeah.
Each match, like you gain experience to go towards that, which unlocks perk openings, which you can then apply like the cards that you get from completing missions.
Yeah, which I got a bunch from Horde mode off of that too. I don't think I've customized any character a lot yet or done anything much with that yet, but yeah. Anyway.
You should go in and because there are definitely cards that can help benefit you.
I think from what I could tell too is like that XP, like your level, like whatever level you are, does carry across like the different modes. Because I want to say I started Horde like at level 6 out of nowhere. I was like, that must be from me playing Versus. Am I right on that or no?
Did you play any of the beta?
No.
I don't think so. Like, maybe I'm wrong. Your overall level in the top right corner is your account level. And that carries across over. So like I'm level 32. But that level doesn't really mean much.
Yeah, it's just like an.
Yeah, so like in Horde, my JD is level 6 now.
So like your cards you're getting in Horde, are only gonna apply.
Yeah, and you can apply the cards in there and I guess whatever. Like some like JD has one that gives his art. So in Horde, they also have the special powers. So different characters have different specials. Like JD can call in an airstrike on a tagged enemy. And one of the cards that you get that you can upgrade and apply to him in the customization is one that gives like 20% extra damage boost or something to the artillery strike. Or you can tag two enemies for the artillery. Something like, so the cards like have a bonus ability to add to them. But that doesn't, like that's mode specific. So, I'm hoping to play more of it. I hope you guys are.
Totally.
Oh, yes, I am. Just hoping the universe no longer conspires against me to not play this game.
Do you guys play Versus at all? Like, do you, like, usually in Gears of War?
I do.
Yeah, I like it, so I'd definitely be down for that too. I'm not always down to do 2 hours of fucking Horde, but I'll do it sometime.
I'm kind of curious to try Escape. I used to play Gears versus mode, but and maybe I'm wrong. It's been a while. Is it still very much a shotgun city?
They've adjusted it a little bit. It is still shotgun heavy. But if you play arcade quick play and arcade deathmatch, you don't even start with a shotgun. Nobody starts with a shotgun in that. So you have to use an assault rifle or a pistol or something. Some characters can buy a shotgun as they get eliminations, but it has limited ammo. So it doesn't become like Shotgun Fest.
Yeah, I was going to say, I didn't really feel that way at all about it. And then when I think about it, I remember playing like Gears of War 2 or 3, and that was the case. Like everyone rolling up in your face with the fucking shotgun, like popping up and blowing you away. This is not like that at all.
If you go into ranked like team deathmatch, it is like the shotgun is the primary weapon for most people.
I won't be venturing that way anyways. So I'm not. Yeah, that's fine.
It's a good time. I will play. I'm willing to play whatever with you guys. Escape is the runs I've been doing have been 10 to 15 minutes tops.
Not bad. All right.
So they're fairly short.
Yeah, it's much better than dedicating 3 hours to Horde. Even though I enjoy it, it is a
I do hope they add that
the 25.
The shortened mode.
That I can see myself playing a little more because this is like 50. By the time you're at 30, you're like, all right, man. You're like, we gotta get over that mountain now. Like,
well, it took us. It took us what, like
2 hours?
More than 2 hours.
Yeah.
So I guess we ended we started probably a little after sometime between 10 and ended a little after midnight. So,
and that's with like basically no breaks in it. Like you get like that 30 seconds between rounds or whatever, you know, and it's just relentless.
I do like that they allow you to be like, oh, we're ready. We're not going to do anything. Let's just jump ahead.
That is neat. One of the things that I do, I mean, this would prevent us from running to 50 all the time. But once you move up to intermediate, if your team wipes, so like when we wiped on 49, Tony, if we were playing on intermediate, the game's over.
That would suck.
That's how I thought that game. I didn't, you know, because none of us, we never had a round where everybody died. So I always assumed that's how the game goes. Like if everyone dies, Horde mode's over.
Yeah.
I was like telling my girlfriend that, I'm like, watch this, man. Like if we all fucking die, that's it. Like,
no, on beginner, they allow you to respawn. And actually in Gears 4, like but if you died at the end of a Horde match, like you were pretty much fucked because you needed to have embattlements and shit.
Yeah, because even though they let you respawn and try again, it's not like a reset. It's an assumption that like everything that happened has happened. So like all your money, all your stuff is destroyed. Mm-hmm. And it was always just kind of like, yeah, we got no chance. We couldn't beat them with our best equipment, and now we have none of that. And we're supposed to do better here. It's like, nope, that's not going to happen.
I really like the idea of like leveling up each character individually. So,
yes, and I've not played around with the card system too, but I'm interested in that as well. And I think the one thing we haven't touched on, which is in Horde and Campaign, is that this game does introduce a lot of new enemy types.
Yeah. Did you get the flying swarmy slug thing?
Yeah, that is so dumb.
That's in the campaign a bunch. The I forgot what they call it. That's in the campaign like several times already. I'm just like, I hate you. And then I'll sometimes drop a couple loose and they fucking, you know, come at you.
Fuck, those ones are all over Horde mode, so you see them everywhere. I just run around kicking them.
Yeah, they're basically the soccer balls, but slugs. Yes.
That's like, I don't even try to shoot them. I just run straight at them and kick them. The only problem is if you get swarmed too. I hate the fucking soccer balls.
They suck. Because if you miss one, you're screwed. Like,
yeah. Because it's that it expels and it does that little static thing where it's like, oh, I can't actually do anything for like 5 seconds while my character gets their wits about them. But yes, it's the same thing with the infected DBs. And I was like,
was that the robots?
The rejects.
That,
yeah.
That's new. Yeah, those aren't in any of the others.
No, because in the fourth game they were introduced, but they weren't like corrupted. And I completely forgot the fourth game. I'm like, I thought we were hating these enemies, but apparently they were on our side.
What I mean, they were. You remember, for most of four, you are playing as an outsider, and the cog are chasing you, as well as the locust. So, up until like the very end, the DB actually stands for Damon Baird, who is Marcus's partner. So. Squad mate, whatever.
Yes.
So there's that. There's that weird swarmy slug thing. There's the warden.
The siren.
Which one's the siren? I don't know
if we ran into. It's the one that can kidnap you.
Oh, yeah. Yes. That one sucks.
Got kidnapped so many times. Stop kidnapping me.
And then there's
if your teammate, like I think we had. Did he actually kidnap you one time, Tony? Because like if he kidnaps you, you're off the board. Like I don't even think your symbol shows up to be revived.
Oh really?
Until the next round. But I think we saved you at least once. I remember I put a shotgun into the back of that thing and it dropped you.
Yeah, there was one time where it actually blows your head up. The time we lost, that's what happened to me. Like your head explodes,
right? And all of us died anyway, so it mattered.
Well, that was the time where like the animation got stuck or something. And at the very end, you were the last one like crawling around on the ground, and the guy was like beating you for 30 seconds.
It was brutal. I was like, come on, just end it. Like we're all dead.
We're all just like laughing because it's just like smacking you over and over and over.
And it made no sense because I couldn't get up anyway. Like there was no revival.
We were all down. Nobody was there to pick you up.
Yeah, there's a couple bugs in it that are kind of funny. So, the enemies I think are a nice addition. So, we'll play more of that, and I guess we'll have more to say as we progress through the campaign, which doesn't sound like Jeff's going to finish.
I was just going to say, it just cracks me up because I've played every single Gears game except, I think, Judgment. And I always think it's like, oh, like, you know, I think of the series as like a pretty decent series that I'm not like super in love with or anything. But it's funny because I'm probably having the most fun with this one. It's because I'm like, usually I just play the campaign. And I'm like, yeah, that was all right. I guess, you know, whatever.
Yeah, done.
And here I'm like focusing on the multiplayer, and I'm like, oh, so this is why it's fun.
Yeah, Gears is, competitive and co-op wise, like it has such a giant suite of stuff to do. I mean, the multiplayer is what people keep coming back. We've been playing 4 all summer.
Yeah,
we played a ton of 4 over the summer, and like it just gives like it's a good game to sit down and play with other people. And not have to worry about like other assholes too. Although every once in a while you get fence guy.
Damn you, fence guy.
Is there anything coming out this week?
It's at Borderlands yes. Now.
Right. So you're playing that, right? You have
Borderlands. Yeah, it should. I'm actually going to turn on my PS4 now to see if it's unlocked.
Okay.
I will not be playing it during this show, but I will be here. But yes, and I think we mentioned Contra might be coming out.
I don't know if anybody's going to play that after that glowing endorsement of the demo.
I will be playing Contra. No, I will not be playing Contra. I do hope to get through Gears 5 and actually campaign the end. And then there was something else this week. And then next week, Daemon X Machina is out this week.
Okay.
I don't know if anybody's getting that, but that's out this week as well.
I don't think I am. That's a mech game,
I'm not. Yeah.
No, I don't think I'm really interested in it. So, Jeff, are you getting the mech game?
No. I'm counting the minutes till Zelda.
I was looking at the mech game, but no, I'm not, probably not getting the mech game now.
You know what? I am going to play a mech game. I forgot to bring this up in news. Anthem is now free on EA Access.
Oh, is it? That still might be too much.
It was like $15, and I was like, that was a few weeks ago, and I was like, no, it's going to go free soon. It's going to go free soon on EA Access. So,
yeah, let me know. I mean, I might dig out my copy. I figured I paid like $10 for it, and might as well use it more than.
Yeah.
I don't know what I would use it for, but
coaster.
That would be it. It actually would make a really nice coaster.
I think it has a cool looking artwork to it.
It's such a shame talking about 2019 that game came. I'm not even going to say it came and went because everybody remembers it. It was just like a gigantic steaming dump.
Yeah.
There's so much anticipation. And I mean, I will be honest. I was really looking forward to that game.
The idea of playing a game as Iron Man with other Iron Men or women sounded really cool.
Yeah. How do you take that concept and somehow along the way hit every branch that's a bad idea along the way and never once find a good idea in there where it's like, oh, you know, we should do this. And you don't. Like, I still don't know how it feels so bad to control. So bad.
I don't know.
So bad.
All right. Well, maybe I'll play some of that.
Sure. I still have it installed. Maybe I'd play with you.
All right. And Earl gets his coaster out, puts it in his machine. we could play.
Yeah.
All right. Otherwise, we can play Gears, and that's actually fun. So that might be better. True. But we'll be back next week with Borderlands at the very least. Coming
and
from
more
Earl.
Gears.
And more Gears.
Is Earl the only one that's getting Borderlands?
I think so.
No, I'm gonna get it eventually, probably.
I'll get it Borderlands. He's getting it twice because for some odd reason he's really bad at money.
I think I'm gonna play through 1 and 2 with my son before I get 3.
Dang, that sounds like a lot of Borderlands.
So I probably will get 3 next year, but
yeah, it's good. Because
those games are long.
Yeah.
I never finished 2. I don't know how long that one was, but I remember the first one being like 35 hours or so.
Yeah, so I think the new one's 30 hours or so. So yeah.
Okay.
I have a question. So,
yep.
Is anyone else getting Zelda?
I'm getting Zelda.
All right.
Yes.
Tony gets Zelda.
No, sorry.
Although I'm a little scared. I heard that it's it wasn't running very well the last time it was shown, I guess.
Well, I mean,
I doubt that would be the case.
From what I understand, it's not running very well. No, fine. Like, it's not that it doesn't run well, but it does
really
have like frame rate drops and stuff like that, which is odd for Nintendo.
I would never expect that, but wow. Still exciting. Yeah. I don't give a shit. You could tell me something awful about it, like, yeah, I don't care, still getting it.
Oh no, and I think the game looks great. It's just it's weird that
it's really weird.
And I also hear that the one big addition, that Dungeon Maker, is not that great, which I had no expectations for.
Yeah,
it would be. So
I just want the campaign. I just want to play the game. So
yeah, and I think the style looks amazing.
Yeah. I'm all about it.
All right. Well, we won't have that for next week because that comes out on Friday, I believe. Comes out on the 20th. So we'll have that the week after. But we'll have Borderlands, probably some news, maybe some. We'll check in on Tony's basketball career.
Yeah, we will.
you know, see if he made the right decision by not going and being in Urkel's movie.
And his pet, Hiron Rapus.
Yeah. And we'll have more Gears, too. So come back next week. Jeff, say goodnight.
Goodnight.